The Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let's begin with prayer now after the reading of his word. Father, we thank you for this wonderful study of your word. We thank you for the study during Sunday school class in the book of Luke. And now we enjoy and praise you that we can open up the Gospel of John and finish up the third chapter. And it's been a wonderful study as we've looked through Nicodemus and you must be born again and all the things that have been going on. And just please guide and lead us through this and give us your sweet spirit that we may know your way and will. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity this morning to be on Keokuk with Jonah, and then Quincy with the study in the book of Exodus, and then at 8:30 on 105 and 990, Father, to go with the Gospel of John in the book of Revelation. And we just thank and praise you that aired this morning, and we just continue to ask for your power and strength and wisdom, that the Gospel can continue to go out, and please that it never be interrupted, that we can proclaim it into this area and around the world. And so please, guide and lead us now today as we've come together as a family to study this precious word in the Gospel of John. Those that are lost, they'll be saved today. Please, dear Lord, that's what will take place. And those that are saved, it will grow today and be strengthened. And please that we realize that we're in a wicked world, but we have you as our Savior to strengthen us and pick us up and hold us. So please today, dear Lord, do just that, that we may feel your presence and find joy in this old wicked world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The testimony of John here, as those kind of tried to lift John up and put him at the same level as the Lord Jesus, whether it be his own disciples or those from the synagogue and those from the Jews. But we find John works diligently here to decrease. And verse 30 tells us that he must increase, the Lord Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. And so if we really enjoy the presence of the Lord and walk with him, we'll realize that we need to kind of be out of the picture, and so that at the same time through us, folks see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's John's purpose here. He was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no intention of taking any of the praise or glory that man would have for God. He wanted none of that. He was a messenger of the Word of God, and that's what he wanted to make clear. And so it continues with that same thought. And then verse 31, it tells us very clearly where the power comes from. He that cometh from above is above all. That's the Lord Jesus. He is the one that's all powerful. And so please look to him. Things that of earth are earthly, and he's speaking of himself. And I am very limited, John says, but God is not. And so please don't praise me, don't look to me, but acknowledge him and acknowledge God. And that's his whole purpose of this. And so as we come down now to this 34th verse, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. John continues to speak so clearly and so simply, so that folks would understand. I need to decrease. It's not going to be too long that John's going to be beheaded. But even if, and he didn't know that, our God knew that. But even though John's life was very, very short, John didn't want one last spurt of glory for himself to go out with a flame of glory like some men like to do. He didn't want that. He wanted himself to bring Jesus to people, and that was the extent of it. And please, he says, don't pay attention to me as far as who I am. I am telling you about my Savior, and please look to him, and please listen. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He whom God has sent, it tells so clearly of the deity of our Lord, the power of our Lord. It teaches us so clearly who Jesus is and from where he came. And as we look through these verses of Scripture, understand he came from heaven, the throne of God his Father. He come from there, from his home. The meaning here of whom God has sent is literally the sent one. There's only one Savior that's ever been sent to this world to save, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one Son of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John makes that very clear, that I am sent of God, but from here on earth. He is sent from God the Father. He came from the throne of God. He is God, the one that has been sent. He's sent into the world to fulfill the promise that has been given. He is the one that has been promised to Adam back in the Garden of Eden. He is the one that was promised throughout all the Old Testament scriptures. And God, John says that I am God's preacher, but I'm just a man, and that's what I am. When Jesus speaks, he does not speak with words of man, but of God. And John wants people to understand that the word here, of whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. And it is more than just as John would speak them, or as I am speaking them this morning, or as the Sunday school teachers spoke the word of God. We are speaking them from a human level, from a man level, from an earthly level, a fleshly level. But when Jesus was here, Jesus spoke his words as God, because, yes, he left glory, but he did not lose his deity when he came here to earth. And so when Jesus spoke one single word, it was as if he was hearing from God the Father himself, because God the Father, down through God the Son, and these folks had the blessed opportunity to hear. And so please, when the people heard Jesus speak, they were literally hearing God speak. When they listened to the words that Jesus spoke, it was the same as Almighty God speaking. The Father and the Son, they are one, yet two separate persons. So when one speaks, it is as if the other is speaking. And so please understand that when Jesus spoke, he was speaking words directly from his Father, but it was more than when we speak these words, they are directly from the Father, but it's still from a human standpoint, not here. Jesus spoke the words as God because he was God. And so please, John wants to make that point so clear. There is no comparison between the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, and me. And that's what John is trying to do. Here is this man that's probably dressed much like John. Wasn't a real, real handsome man. The Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus was kind of comely. He was not. He did not desire that people follow him because he was handsome. He wanted people to follow because he was bringing salvation to them. He was the Son of God. And so John here does everything he can humanly do to express how he is nothing and God is everything, and there's God. And that's the way he presented it. There is God. Please, don't mix the two. Don't confuse the two. All earthly preachers, true preachers, now there's many a preacher that's not taught of God, but any true preacher of the Word of God is taught of God. We get the Word of God by means through the Father, by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is God. Is God. We need to be taught. We look to God. We take His Word. We study His Word. We wait upon the Holy Spirit to show us and to teach us God's Word so that we can teach others. Jesus did not need to be taught. He is God. He held the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. He, different than any preacher, any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all need to be taught. He did not need to be taught. Whatever God the Father knew, the Son knew. Whatever the Holy Spirit knows, the Son knows and the Father knows. All three separate persons, yet one. And so one did not need to tell the other. The difference is that the Lord Jesus is the Word incarnate. And you can find that, and it's just a couple pages back. Please turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 14. And you'll see, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And so we have here the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. And John takes much effort to tell these people that I am not God. Now, why did God take time in His Word to tell this story? What's the purpose in John, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, recording this situation where they wanted to follow Him and He said, no, follow Jesus? I believe God knew that natural man loved the power. Natural man loves to take the praise and the honor and the glory. And so natural man, and I'm speaking specifically to preachers, need to read this over and over and over again to keep themselves in the condition that God can use them, and that's a humble condition. And anyone that is allows themselves to be called reverend is abusing that. Because yes, pastor, because the pastor is the shepherd, but the only one that we're to reverence, truly reverence, is our God. And we need to hold Him up into that place and position. But most preachers love to be called reverend and enjoy it. And I'm afraid that they are missing many of the blessings of God when that's done. And so please that you, a lot of folks, they think they are giving the level of honor, and it's not, because the honor and the glory goes to God, not to man. And that's what John, that's the reason John, I think, takes all this time to do this. We find here that he continues in the last half of verse 34, that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. All preachers, ever saved, born again believer, receives the Holy Spirit, but it's with measure. It's with measure. We will not have the full power and presence of God till we get in heaven into His presence. But our Lord Jesus, when He came down here, He came with full power, with everything that can be given. He possessed. He holds because He is God. To Him God gave, the Father gave, the Holy Spirit completely without measure. It's in divine infinite fullness, a divine completeness is what the Lord Jesus was given. Our Lord Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. But our Lord Jesus came with all power and authority to be priest, prophet, and king. And that never changed, to be priest, prophet, and king. He never ceased to be God. The next verse, verse 35, says, "The Father loveth the Son. He hath given all things into His hand." The Father loveth the Son. The relationship between the Father and Son, one and yet two separate persons, is the greatest love that can be between two. And that's the love that God the Father has with the love with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And so when He makes this statement here, "The Father loveth the Son," remember what the Father has called the Son to do. The Father has called the Son to leave His side and come down here and live in this cursed old world and live here for 33 years only for the purpose not to come down to become an adult and to rule and reign, which He will, but to come and to seek and to save those that are lost. That's why He come. He came to die on the cross of Calvary. He came as God creator. And the things I have written here, He has the power over all flesh. He has the power to create all, everything. Anything that is in this world, as far as the telescopes can see and beyond, our God has created, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is the one that created. God the Father gave Him that power and that authority. But He also not only gave power over all flesh, but He gave power to the Lord Jesus to save. And by having the power to save, He has also been given the power to judge. If you can come by faith to Him and believe, and trust in the Lord Jesus and have your sins taken care of, don't you agree that our Lord Jesus has the same power and authority then to judge the one that does not? If it's a free gift handed to you and you've rejected that free gift, He is the only one that really has the right to judge all things. Jesus holds the key to death, to hell, and the grave. Jesus conquered the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave when He went to the cross of Calvary and died for your sins and mine and rose again. He is the only one that the poor believing sinner can go to. He's the only one. There's many ways that they look, but there is only one way to go. This last verse of this chapter, verse 36, is equally as powerful as verse 16. Verse 16 was said to be the most powerful and full of the gospel of any verse of Scripture found. "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And now let's go to verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You must understand it needs to be made ever so clear that believing on Jesus, by believing on Jesus, the Son of God, you have everlasting life. That's simple. Believing. You're heaven bound if you believe. At the same time, you need to understand the way to hell is to refuse. The way to hell is to refuse the Lord Jesus, to not believe on Him. And as we have studied and read many times, condemned already. This isn't a situation that takes place at your death. You are condemned already if you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Condemned, condemned, condemned because of your unbelief. You see, you don't need to murder, to lie, to steal. You don't have to be a drunk in order to be eternally lost. You're lost already. Condemned already. All you need to do to stay lost is refuse to believe on Jesus. That's all it is. Again, he that believeth not is condemned already. You see that word in the beginning, first half, he that believeth on the Son. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. All you need to do is believe in Jesus and you possess life. And this world wants to take it away from us, but it can't. The devil would love to take it away from us, but he can't. Any principalities, any powers, everything cannot take away everlasting life. Cannot take away the free gift of salvation that took our sins away. Nothing in this world that we do or that the world could do can separate us from the love of our God. And all we have to do is believe. That's all we have to do is believe. We're of a society now. It would be called the now society. We want everything and we want it now. We want it now. Whatever we want now. We go to a place to eat and you want the service to be immediate. In taking the CDs down to Quincy yesterday, I had a lot of work to do, a lot of things to get done, and so let's just run through McDonald's, grab a quick bite of breakfast, and we'll be gone. I was in the now mode. They weren't. You ever waited 15 minutes for your food at McDonald's? If I'm going to wait 15 minutes, I want some good food. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Now. We want everything now. Fast. Now. Well, do you realize that all you got to do is believe, and now you have eternal life? Not tomorrow, not in 2 weeks after there's a credit check done. Now. That's how our God operates. Immediately, you have salvation. Now, how simple is that? Could God make salvation any easier? Tell me how. It's free. You don't need to list all your past sins to get in the door. All you do is believe that He saves me. Period. How clear is that? How simple is that? And God does not say, I'm going to see if you're serious. We'll check back in a month. We'll see if you still are working and serving and believing. Then I'll write it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. No. The second you turn to Him, He saves you. Oh, that ought to excite your heart. That ought to lift you up knowing that He saves you. Sins are forgiven now. Possessors of eternal life now. How about those that believe not in this Scripture? He that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. Believeth not. We talked about this in Sunday school just a little bit. There's a matter of just kind of generally not believing something. But when it comes to our relationship with our God, with our Creator, that spoke this universe into existence, it is more than just not believing. It is being downright disobedient. Disobedient. God calls for us to believe, and you say no. Anybody that's been around any children any time knows what it means to be disobedient. You ask a child to do something, they just don't happen to be in the mood to do it. And they'll tell you to your face, no. Outright, clear disobedience. I don't want to, I don't have to. I did it last time. It's not my turn. How come I got to do it all the time? I can't believe that somewhere along the line you haven't heard those words from a little one. And probably when we were little ones, we may have made the error of saying that once or twice. But I don't know about your household, but at my household, if you made an error like that once, you never made it again. You didn't make that mistake twice. The rules were clear, the rules were simple, and the rules were meant to be kept. And if they weren't, judgment came firmly and quickly, and the judgment was in such a manner that you never did it again. So that means I only made one mistake in my life, but that's not true. There was more than one rule. I found my way through most of them before we were done. Judgment. Disobedience. Disobedience. To be disobedient. Pick up your room. No. No. Same situation as we become to the age of accountability. And we say no to God. You see, it's not a matter of you and I making a decision at some point in time in our life whenever we see fit to do it. God calls. God calls every individual that's ever lived has been called to trust in Him in some way or another. Some very clearly. Some through nature. God says there is everyone that stands before His throne after this world's over will be without excuse. Every single one. But some have had so much light. And that is just as a child that's out of control. It doesn't seem like you do a thing with them. No matter how much you beat them, it doesn't matter. You cannot get them down. Now, many times what's happened is you wait too long. You wait too long. You wait till they get about so big and it's trouble. You best And this is going to be a pretty firm and statement that you may not expect your preacher to say. You need to beat the hell out of them because that's exactly what you're going to do. When you discipline them with a rod, you're keeping them out of hell. You're keeping them out of hell, because by disciplining them properly and bring it, they will reverence you and they will reverence God and they will trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and you have won more victory. But if you choose to spare the rod and set them on a chair, give them a time out in the corner, the chances of that child going to hell is strong. If that child gets saved, it's despite you as a parent, not because you were their parents. Now, we need to discipline our children. Many a child goes to hell because their parents do not discipline their children. They have followed Dr. Spock. They have followed all the psychologies and things and the psychiatrists of the world. No, follow this book. Get the rod out. Because if they are disobedient to you, I guarantee you they're going to be disobedient to God. And when they're disobedient to God, it means they're going to hell. It means they're going to hell. And so, do we have a responsibility as an adult, as a parent? Yes, we do. Did we do it correctly? Not a one of us. We can do our best by the power and the presence of God. If we were saved at the time, many of us were lost at the time. When we raised our children, we weren't saved. We didn't know what to do. Discipline. To be disobedient to God is much worse than back-talking to your parents, because the result is hell. So please, when God calls, and again, He does. He does the calling. You can't just choose the minute that you, okay, I want to get saved now. The call comes, and you say, no, I don't want that. It's just like a disobedient child saying the same thing. I'm not going to clean my room. I'm not going to do what you say to do. That's just what an adult is doing to God when they do such a thing. And it means being condemned, and you are condemned already. The life here that's spoken of in this verse of Scripture shall not see life. This life is not something that the natural eye sees. It's a possession. To possess life enters into, you possess it, you taste it, you enjoy it. And that's being a believer in Jesus Christ. You have life. You have life. Again, physically with the eyes you don't see, but the unbeliever shall not see life. And that simply and clearly means that they will spend all of their life in wrath, in anger. Some show it very well, some don't show it. They all live the same way if they do not trust in Jesus, and they will spend eternity in outer darkness, in eternal destruction. The wrath of God abides upon them, the Scripture says, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The word abideth means it stays. It's not that when they die they get it. It's there now. The wrath of God is upon every individual that's lost today. It is there. It is upon them. It remains there. It stands upon them. The unbeliever is under the wrath of Almighty God. And as we have salvation now, they have the wrath now. It's not later. It's now. The wrath of God is upon them now. You want to know why they're so mean and ornery and nasty? It's because they are disobedient. They're disobedient. They will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two groups or classes of people. Not by color, not by nationality. There's the class of believers, sons of God. And there's a class of unbelievers, sons and children of the devil. That's it. That's it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son hath not will not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, preachers today, they preach one thing, God's love. God loves you so much. God's not going to send anybody to hell. It's, you know, it's called this thing that is salvation, and it's a universal salvation that everybody's saved. You don't have to worry about nobody's going to go to hell. Well, the greatest preacher ever, the Lord Jesus Christ, preached message after message after message on hell. There is a hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you better come by faith to Jesus and believe today. If not, you're condemned already. I'm not condemning you. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell if you don't believe today. You're condemned already. I don't need to say that. I'm just stating the truth. The Word of God says condemned already. But he that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved already. Right now. Please come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers today have ignored the fact that God is a consuming fire. We should preach the love of God. Salvation comes. We should preach the grace and the mercy of God because he can save us. We should preach that he is compassionate and long-suffering because he is. But we must also preach the wrath of God. He is a consuming fire. Most preachers never mention hell. Don't speak of the wrath of God, only the love. And the sad thing is, by speaking only of the love of God and not speaking and preaching about hell, the very place that those listeners are going to go is hell. They're never going to experience the love of God, and yet the preacher, that's all he preached on was the love of God. We need to preach on the wrath of God. And please understand that they preach that God sends no one to hell. And that's probably the closest to truth that they preach. Because he doesn't. They take care of that on their own by not believing in the only begotten Son of God. By their preaching, thousands upon thousands through the years have went to hell. We're not going to take time, but please, this afternoon, read a couple of verses of Scripture. Psalm 7, chapter 7, verse 11. Psalms 9, 17. So it's Psalms 7, 11 and 9, 17. And then please go to Mark chapter 9. Write that down. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48. And that, in Mark, the psalm speaks of the wrath of God and judgment. But Mark says that, you know, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offends thee, pluck it out. And then that's the scripture that speaks of the worm never dieth and a continually consuming fire. If you let something of this life, your hand, your eye, your leg, any part of your life, any part of your keep you from coming by faith to Jesus, you're going to the place where the worm never dies. The fire, the flames, the heat's never quenched. What's so important in this world that would keep you from believing? What's so important? Better that you go in lame. Because if that was something you were doing, maybe a great runner. And because he was so consumed in running and winning that he rejected Jesus, wouldn't have it. It's better that he lose his legs and get saved. So many things that we do, and we don't have time for the Lord Jesus. Whatever it is that's keeping you from the Lord Jesus, get rid of it. Call on Jesus. Eternal hell, eternal heaven, which would you like? It's your choice. It's your choice. Condemned already, under the wrath of God already, if you refuse to come. Blessings, joy, and peace if you come. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can enjoy your presence and enjoy your precious word. I ask that you'll speak to all of our hearts, that you'll apply the words, the message, in whatever means and fashion that needs to come into each heart individually for what they need today. And we know that salvation must come first, because the words are as if it's another language if you are not born again. Makes no sense whatsoever, can't understand it. Please just come by faith and believe, and you will begin to understand. You'll begin to grow. You'll begin to have that joy and peace. So please surrender. Father, have them surrender unto you, unto your Son. Call upon you as you've died on the cross to save them. Let them come to that cross. Say, yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I know you can take my sin away. Please save me. It's not the special words. It's the heart, dear Lord, we know. So please, that all here, if they have not called upon you, they will do it right now. Today is the day of salvation. And Father, as we are saved, we become a child of God. Help us to grow. Help us to walk with you. Help us to call upon you for our joy and our strength as we go through the trials and tribulations that this world puts us through. Many times it's just a normal difficulty of a day. Other times it's people that they just make it almost impossible to have any joy or pleasure in this life. But Father, if we let them take our joy away, it's because we have allowed it, because you've given it to us, no matter what the situation is. So please, dear Lord, have us to call upon you and depend upon you, and give us a peace and a joy in our hearts. Put a smile on our face. Don't let this world take your joy away. Thank you, Father, for your strength and power. Thank you for this time together, as this family has come together to hear your words and just touch our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.